just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today, in the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the fifth month, and the 19th day. In pagan terms, this is known as July 22nd, 2010. This is also what I'm calling Appendix Number 3. Of appendixes of total will be 8. There will be 5 more of these gathering offerings, and unless the Lord puts a knot on my head, there won't be more than 5 more. There is also a telephone conference call that goes on, and I'll give you that number. That number is 1-712-432-0075, and you'll need an access code of 715-718 and push the pound sign. That conference call will go on tonight and then for 5 more nights. Those are Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time. If there's some other change in the numbers or things of that nature, go to freedom-school.com under my name, Jerry Kirk, and look for any number changes or time changes. At the beginning of each one of these offering gatherings, I have a responsibility and a duty to do. I hope that through the 26-week course and the first 2 of these appendixes, I hope that each of you all that are listening understand that this is a responsibility and a duty that you have to do whenever 2 or more of you are gathered together in the Christ name. You have to, and I have to, we have to praise and bless him. Now, everybody talks about praising, but have you thought about blessing? We always want blessings from the Lord. Have you thought about blessing him, blessing the Father, offering that aspect to them, that their everything that they want, everything that they need has to occur, and to offer your help to them? Isn't that an amazing thought? Our Father who art in heaven, I offer praise and blessings to you as I offer praise and blessings to your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, I want to pull together with you. I want to be of your will. I want those with eyes and ears to be of your will, not of our individual earthly dodo egos. Father, I want to offer the blessing to the fact that you have put this forth, this amazing plan. And Father, I want you to thank you so much for giving us the instructions to reprove and reprove ourselves. Father, allow me and allow those with eyes and ears to always receive constructive criticism, not damning criticism, but constructive criticism. And I know you know what that means, Father. That means, Father. But to others, they need to know that is helpful criticism because, hey, Jerry, you made a mistake over there. And then I would respond, thank you for pointing that out to me, brother or sister. Father, again, I offer praise and blessings to you and your only begotten Son, D. Christ. And I hope that each and every one of those that you have desired for this go-around to open their eyes will start opening them a little bit wider today and listening just a little better today. Thank you. I would like to thank a gentleman by the name of Leroy, and I'm not going to mention the state. He called up a couple weeks ago with some constructive criticism. A fine gentleman that had showed a lot of get-to-it-ness, self-starter in Texas, had put up some calendars that were able to be carried forward in the future. Plus, he put up some calendars in a different fashion of the Lord's calendar that I wasn't even aware of. I thank the Lord for that self-starter in Texas, and he made a small error on two of the calendars that I haven't gotten a copy of yet. Well, this gentleman named Leroy was so diligent. He's gone through these calendars, ladies and gentlemen, and he found an error there. Now, you talk about a really good guy out of the however many people that are listening. This is the only guy that went through all this and noticed the error and called and said, hey, there's an error there. Thank you, Lord, for the constructive criticism that Leroy turned in to me. I appreciate that. We all make mistakes, and we need brothers and sisters to point out, hey, Jerry, you messed up. I appreciate that. And that gentleman in Texas, when I talked to him about it, he said, he wasn't upset. He wasn't mad. He said, oh, good, we found something. That's great. Thank you, Leroy. We appreciate that. Now, I'm going to talk on a couple of different subjects today. The first one I want to talk about is that people look at different Bibles and different renditions of what you might call the Word of God. And they want to know, well, how do I know which one's right? They've got this, they've got this, they've got that. Now, Jerry, you've said, well, use the King James. And I say that because there's a concordance in there and because the King James is the easiest for me to spot the tilts or the lies because there are tilts in all of these works of man. Then I say use the Farrar Fenton and the Colonel Thompson. Those were translations directly from the Greek and had limited influence from the Masoretic text. The Masoretic text is the text that was published in 1020 by the Vatican after the Vatican hired about 300 rabbis, Canaanites. Let's make sure we defined which individuals they were. From 600 to 900 A.D., those rabbis took the Latin Vulgate, or in other words, we might say Latin Vulgar, and they translated it into Hebrew. There were never any scriptures ever written in Hebrew before the dates of 600 through 900 A.D. The King James, the Geneva Bible, and so forth, they were all translated from the Masoretic text. Now, you have people out there that constantly want to talk about Hebrew, and they want to, you know, impress someone as to, golly gee, I've got a strong concordance, and word 30279, it means this, because that's what it says in Hebrew. The clowns cannot even go to week two of the gathering offering and find out that in front of their own eyes, that Hebrew and Jewish and Chaldee are all the same language. And the Chaldees were always the enemies of Israel. Yet I think the King James is one of the wonders of the Lord that he put out there for us. And then I refer to using the Septuagint by Brenton. And I refer to using four Bibles. Now let's get something real clear about any and all of these Bibles. Now please hear me. I am in 2nd Ezra of the Apocrypha, which of course was in your King James Bible, but then they took it out because they said, man, we don't want anybody to learn any of this stuff in the Apocrypha. The Catholic Church said, get that out. Don't let anybody see the Apocrypha. I'm in 2nd Ezra, chapter 14. And I'm going to summarize to get up to this point of where I'm going to start beginning. The Lord got a hold of Ezra, and he says, get a hold of these various guys, and you guys, these guys, there's five of them. And they're going to sit down, and they're going to write some books for 40 days. They wrote in the day, and at night they ate bread. In verse 43, as for me, I spake in the day and held not my tongue by night. Verse 44, in 40 days they wrote 204 books. Verse 45, and it came to pass when the 40 days were fulfilled that the highest spake, saying, the first that thou hast written, publish openly, that the worthy and unworthy may read it. Okay, now let's stop here. That means the nincompoops and the people that have something going for them, like people with eyes and ears. Think about that. Worthy and unworthy. Anybody can get a hold of those first books. Didn't tell you how many there are right there. But you had 204 to start with. Now verse 6, 46. But keep the 70 last, that thou mayest deliver them only to such as be wise among the people. Now how about that? There's 70 books that only the wise and worthy are going to be able to have. Now, I don't have those books. Do you? Because if you do, please send me a copy. Call me up. I'll be at your doorstep in a day or two. Be happy to clean your house. Let me read those books. We don't have them. All the books that we're talking about right now that I've been visiting with you are for the worthy and the unworthy to read. We have to reprove and reprove and reprove ourselves with the books that we have. Now in verse 47, for in them, that's these last 70 books, is the spring of understanding, the fountain of wisdom, and the stream of knowledge. Verse 48, and I did so. Think about that. How many of the people are out there, the preachers and pontificators, tell you that the books they're working with are like pre-kindergarten? This is to get you started. These books that we're working with right now are to determine whether or not you're wise enough and worthy enough to be sitting there when those 70 books are open. And it is my suggestion to you that when the two witnesses open that particular underground or cave or whatever it is where the Ark of the Covenant is, those 70 books are going to be there. Now, I may not qualify to be within hearing range, but I certainly hope I could be qualified to be in sight range. In other words, maybe I'm a half mile or a quarter mile or a whole mile away. I think I maybe see that there's people there at a mile away, and know that those books of wisdom and understanding are now coming out and being made available. That's what I want. Wouldn't you like, could you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, of those with eyes and ears? For in them, those 70 books, is the spring of understanding and the fountain of wisdom and the stream of knowledge. Now, wouldn't that be amazing? And that's the real McCoy. You don't have to worry about there's a comma out of place or there's a wrong adjective or a wrong adverb. They're going to be right. When you hear them by these two witnesses, they're going to be right. And you're going to know it. Those with hope those that are happy to understand that we're in the last days, that know that there's going to be a limited group of individuals get to see that and get to hear that. And those individuals, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go out to the other ones that haven't quite woken up exactly right. They're going to say, hey, guys, you need to get your act together because I've seen the real thing. I've seen the real McCoy. Now, let's take a look in Enoch, chapter 104, verse 10. Another mystery also I point out. To the righteous and the wise shall be given books of joy, of integrity, and of great wisdom. To them shall books be given in which they shall believe. Golly, do you think that Enoch is talking about something that Ezra wrote? Second Ezra, verse 46-47. How about this? Enoch was written a long time before Ezra wrote his. They tell you you're supposed to have two witnesses for something, ladies and gentlemen. This is hope. This is happiness, is what I'm talking to you about. We've got this to look forward to in our near future. You're not going to have somebody that has studied a little bit sit here and tell you this means this and this means that and this means this. You're going to be able to read it. You're going to be able to understand it. But guess what? In the meantime, you've got to reprove yourself. You've got to open that far fence. And you've got to open the King James and you've got to read them side by side. And you're going to see all kinds of differences. Now, one difference might mean just something slightly to me. But that difference, if you read it, might mean something sort of more major to you. If you don't do this work, and Jerry only got the little minor thing, and you got the big thing, how are you going to help me? How are you going to help your other brothers and sisters? Tell me that. Because you didn't sit down and there was a major thing you could have learned. But let's see. Maybe you were surfing the web. Maybe you were going to a basketball game. Maybe you were just too damn busy trimming your toenails. I don't know what. You have to prioritize, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to tell you that I prioritize and I get every single bit of time that I want in to study the Father's law. I don't. I have never made the claim that I'm righteous. Someday, maybe if the Lord will hit me with enough of a big stick, maybe I'll get righteous. But I know what I need to do. And I'm always working on that. Now, I may not be the best, and I'm not claiming to be the best, but I'm trying. And I'm trying to encourage you to do better, to reprove yourself. We're in like pre-kindergarten here. Maybe we're going to get to kindergarten. But those books are going to be open. For in them is the spring of understanding, the fountain of wisdom, the stream of knowledge. They're going to tell you exactly what the Father's laws are. You're not going to have to wonder about whether somebody added or subtracted this. It's going to be there. And when you have absolute certainty, and if you're there looking and you're listening, and maybe you get a chance to look at them words, and you're going to automatically know what they're, you know, whatever that handwriting is. When you're there, that's going to be happening. The Lord's just going, ping, just like he did with Joseph. Or instructed, he had a messenger give him, you know, the information about the 70 languages of the world at that time. You're going to have all that's going to happen for you. He's not going to send you in there with and not being prepared, but you got to want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to perform. And if you don't perform, he ain't going to let you go there. It's plain and simple. You have to remember, it is your job to reprove yourself so that you may love your brother and sister. When you love your brother and sister, you reprove them. You offer what we call constructive criticism. You don't go up to them and say, oh, you
dirty, nasty, no good, rotten, blah, 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 you did this.
No, you don't do that. You go up and you say, the father's law says that you're not allowed to buy and sell on the seventh appointed day. Now, has that ever happened to me? Well, of course it did for the first 42 years of my life. Did it happen to me in the next 7 years of my life? Yes, it did, because I didn't know when the seventh appointed day was. I was on the hunt, the study, and the proof of it. Now, after that first, that next 7 years, have there ever been occasions where I broke down and done something and bought something when I shouldn't have? Yeah. I've done that. Usually it was under like a $4 or $5 item. And I just, you know, got it. And then I said, oh, my God, you broke the father's law for a $5 item? So certainly I can't call myself righteous. And I want you to think about that, ladies and gentlemen. It says, do not buy and sell. Now, I've broken the law, and I'm upset every time that I haven't done it in a fairly good while. But I did it. And I broke down and I slipped. Now, generally speaking, if, you know, you find out, you know, hey, it is Thursday at noon, and you need something, you try to say, no, I'm not going to go get that. Then next week, before Thursday at noon, you go get that thing. All right? Think about that. These father's laws are immutable. Now, excuse me. Tonight on the conference call, we have subjects that are going to be discussed. And on the conference call, the individuals that are participating, they are the ones that decide what they want to have discussed for the following week. I don't sit there and say, oh, next week we're going to talk about such and such. No, I don't do that. What happens is you, the individual, sit make at the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you come up with a list of items that you want to have discussed and go over with, ask questions, participate, however way you want to. This week, we're going to be talking about what part of the law is valid today or not valid today. Kind of interesting. All of the laws are valid. That's going to be an easy subject. Explaining it out to someone might be different. The tracing from the name Isis through the name Jesus, the references to the second moon relative to the east of the Mississippi going underwater. Number five, books on the history of Paul. Number six, are we saved by grace and some are saved and not everyone saved? So those are some subjects that we're going to go over and try and kick them around a little bit tonight. I invite each of you all that are listening to call in to the conference call number. I'm going to give it for the last time today. 712-432-0075. Your participant code number is 715-718. Push the pound sign. I hope the folks will tune in or call in and listen to that. James is doing recordings, but he has not put them up. You know, he will get to that when he gets to that. And, you know, he's a busy gentleman, and it takes an awful lot of space for these 2-hour conference calls on the computer. Now, I also encourage people to go to freedom-school.com and go to the website and go to My Name, Jerry Kirk, and continue studying, or if you're a, sort of a new listener, which I've gotten a lot of calls, well, a good number of calls in the last couple of weeks, of people that have just found out about this. One guy's on week 5, another guy's on week 9, and people doing some catch-up stuff. If you, the individual, have gone through all 26, and you can tell me that you understand everything in all 26, then don't listen to what I have to say right now. Like, go back and review it. Go back and reread stuff. Go back and reprove yourself. Go back and re-look up the verses and read the verses. I find that the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 14th, 24th, 54th time that I reread a verse that I get something out of it still. So I would offer you to continue to reprove yourself. And that is what a little bit about what this week is about. So, after we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about circumcision. And we're going to try and get to that particular term. Now, one gentleman, he told me, well, you know, circumcision, that means, you know, they take and chop off part of the foreskin of little boys or grown men. Well, yes, that is one definition of circumcision. And there's a very fine gentleman I had this conversation with, and he said, I'm really not familiar with any other type of circumcision. Well, what about the type that the pagans do to women? There was a reason why they did circumcision on a man, and that would mean that the man would be less, have less sensitive feelings, so that that man could actually do a better job of procreating. And at the same time, that would make the man much cleaner, so that he would not put dirt into the woman, because he hadn't cleaned that, you know, his foreskin. But when they took and they did the stuff to the women, never spoken of there in the Word of God. The women, when they did that to them, the circumcision that the Arabs and the Canaanites do to women, that messed them up. And that didn't help them. So there is something other than, you know, this is the end of the discussion about, if you will, sexual parts of circumcision. But remembering with a man, it makes him less sensitive. So he's less likely to ejaculate too soon. And, you know, the woman needs to be brought to a certain level before she can conceive. She'll conceive much better when she's brought to orgasm. So we're going to get into, after the break here, about the real meaning of what circumcision is in the Old Testament, and see if we've got that in us. Because if we don't, we got troubles. We have to be working on ourselves all the time. So we'll be talking a little bit about that after this half hour break. And we're not going to be talking about, except for a very short part, of what happened in the Old Testament in the history of circumcision of males' foreskin. And I hope that you will get something out of this. And it will not go maybe exactly in the order that you may think of, because we're not going to start where you may think we're going to start. We're going to start in Isaiah. See you back at the end of the break. Thank you.
There goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned, and he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website. Or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about circumcision. The first thing we're going to hit is in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac circumcised their sons. Then Moses went out and came out of Egypt, and the men were instructed, and they went out and circumcised themselves. They were instructed in the circumcision on the eighth day of their child. Now, however, when we go forward in Joshua, we find that now Joshua, you know, Moses has died, they've crossed the River Jordan, and Joshua now has to be re-instructed. Because for the whole 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites did not circumcise their children. Their male children. And they were violating the law. So Joshua has to be re-instructed, and now they have to go out and circumcise everybody again. Seems like we have a history of being stiff-necked, hard-headed, dingbats for a whole long time. We don't circumcise ourselves. Okay, I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. Your new moon. This is the Lord speaking, saying, your new moon, Jerry, your first days of the month, and your appointed feast is not just the four feasts, that is your seventh appointed day, that's actually a feast, folks. Your 3 days of atonement, they are an appointed feast. My soul hateth,
Wow. Now, that's sort of like me talking about people that lie to me. I hate them kind. But he hates those that are keeping his appointed feast, his seventh appointed day. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. You're wearing him out. Look at this. This is the Christ, and you're wearing him out. That's what we're doing. Now listen to verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. No, let's spread forth your hands. Could that be like one of the items that when you pray, you're supposed to have your hands up and at a certain particular angle? Maybe you have to be facing a certain way? We won't go into all that detail. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. So here we are down here praying, and if you're not keeping the seventh appointed day and the appointed feast and the first days of the month, they refer to them as new moons in the King James to get you gooped up, he's not going to hear your prayers. That's not my words, that's his words. So you're conning yourself into thinking you're praying because you're not circumcised. Your hands are full of blood. Anybody remember me an offering called offering your sons by fire to Moloch? The different ways you do that? That's how you put your hands full of blood. Verse 16, wash you, make ye clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. He's pleading with us. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. It's not just your vegetables and your good beef. Verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I'm just reading it. I'm not, you know, the Lord. I'm just reading what he said. You need to hear me. Now we're talking about circumcision. And how'd that have to do with circumcision? Think. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou may live. And it doesn't mean to live to 90. It means to live forever. To be under his will, under his power, under his glory, and doing exactly what he says. Not what little old Jerry or little old Billy or Sue Ann think in their little old pea brain head. What he thinks. That's what you'll be living. But you got to love the Lord. And it says, circumcise that side thy heart. Now, I've been trying to do some work. And I've had all kinds of problems. Because I didn't do due diligence this past fall. And I didn't get some equipment in shape. Now, I'm getting a good lesson about this coming fall, about getting my stuff in shape. Getting a good lesson. Get my equipment in shape in the fall so I don't have troubles in the summer. I am going to have to circumcise my heart and my body to discipline myself that I get my stuff in shape so 6 months later I'm not out there pulling my hair out. And that's what we got to do. We've got to get ourselves in shape. We've got to listen to what the Lord says. Otherwise, we're paying the price. Now, I'm just having earthly type problems. You know, they're minor. People say, why do you do this stuff? Well, it's really hard work. Even when the equipment works fine, it's really hard work. And I set my lifestyle up to on purpose have numerous very hard job to keep myself in shape. To circumcise myself and not have air conditioning. to circumcise myself and not have an automatic thermostat in my house where I could take and, you know, just turn the temperature up and poof, there goes some fuel oil, there goes some electric, poof, there goes some propane. No, I got to get out there and make sure I get plenty of wood cut, split, stacked, dried. And you know what? In the wintertime, I don't sit around and, you know, just one pair of jeans and a T-shirt. I go to some people's houses, and that's how they sit around. I have two pairs of socks and a heavy pair of house slippers on. I have long johns and jeans on. I have a T-shirt. I have a long john shirt on. I have a heavy wool shirt on. Getting used to and acclimating myself to cold winters because they're coming. I'm sitting around here. It's 94 degrees in this house right now. Sitting around in a pair of shorts and there's a fan running. I can take the heat fairly good because I have been circumcising my body for that. Going back to the foreskin of a man, when you take that foreskin off, that makes that little head sit there and be less sensitive so it can do a better job when it's down to producing, you know, conceiving children. You don't have any quick shooters. You say, well, he sure is talking a little gross. Well, what happens? We've got to get our bodies that way. We have to eat the Father's foods that he said. We're not allowed to eat pork. We're not allowed to eat catfish. We're not allowed to have any cheese on the seventh appointed day. Did you all know that? Earlier, about two and a half hours ago, someone had given me a vegetarian lasagna thing. And I went in there and I said, whoops, wait a minute. It's got all this cheese in here. Cheese is made from a yeast culture. It cultures. Not allowed to have cheese. You've got your dietary laws that you have to follow. I spoke of your seventh appointed days and your other appointed things that you have to do. Days of Atonement, first days of the month, your four feasts, and your seventh appointed day. You have to do those things. It's not optional. You have to do the right one. You're out there and you think you're doing part of this course and you're still sitting there. Well, let's say, I've got a job, and my job, if I went to my boss and said I got to be off from 12 on Thursdays till 12 on Fridays, he might give me a hard time. That's your boss. What do you think the Father and the Christ are going to do to you? Well, let's see what they're going to do. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 16, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's a whole lot. It's pretty clear that slain and is not a good deal. And he's pleading with you. It's right here in Isaiah, verse 17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst. Now that's Christmas. That's to give you one example of a pagan holiday. And if you don't get that, study it. Eating swine's flesh, that's your dietary laws. And the abomination, we're going to get to that in a second. And the mouse. Now let's see. Are there a whole lot of people running around here eating mice? The word mouse only occurs twice in Scripture. The very first time, it's clearly a rodent. It says it's a rodent. The second time that it talks about mouse is right here in Isaiah. Did you ever think to look up the word mouse in Strong's Concordance to get a little bit better handle on what I'm talking about here? Did you ever actually do it? I'm going to turn to that particular word right now, if I can get to it. Talk about, you know, not being totally prepared. Should have had a bookmark in here. And I didn't. But anyway, when you look to the word mouse, you find that the word just above it, it says that the word mouse is a derivative from that word. And I still haven't gotten to it. I can't believe this, that I haven't gotten to it. But anyway, that word says that it is a gnawing web spider network. Look that up and say, wow, could that possibly be that that thing on my computer has got a mouse on it? And are you using a computer? Well, now, wait a minute. Who is the hypocrite? Here I've got somebody using a website, and I don't have a computer, but I'm having somebody put up my stuff on a computer that causes you to go use a computer to get this information. Isn't that a little bit hypocritical? I'd say that very easily people could say, Jerry, you're a hypocrite. All right? Maybe I am. Or am I trying to use the computer to get you to understand to get off the computer? Have I tried to reach in, and of course I still get pressure all the time. Jerry, you need a computer. Get on the internet. And I won't do it. No, sir. There's a control factor that's built into the mouse, that computer. And when you've got it, some guy was telling me, well, there's a type of startup thing that when you want to do this, that, and the other, it'll hide all the sites that you go to and all the downloads you do. And everything. Come on, people. I've been manipulating computers since I was 13 years old. There's always a back door on the computer. They always make a back door on a computer. Word 5908. It is from where the word 5909 comes from. 5909 comes from 5908. 5909 is mouse. From an unused root in the literary sense of entangling, a spider, as weaving a network. Spider. Wow! How about that? Somebody told me that the Russians and the Chinese, that their spy program to go in and hack things is called Spider. How about that? Isn't that amazing? Kind of interesting coincidence to me. The abomination. Let's go to it. Just got to circumcise yourself. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. 13, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. You ever see people stand up and they're always using their hand signals? They're talking, they're dit-dit-dit like this. You see people taking wink or kind of look up to the left like Clinton was famous for. Or they look over this way, they look over that way. That's kind of a wink they're doing. They're moving their eyes. Frowardness in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. I'm going to skip verse 16 because it's out of order. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, how are you shedding innocent blood? You paying income taxes? You paying that to the federal government? And they're taking money and taking people over to other countries, and our men and women are getting killed. That's innocent blood. We're killing people all over the world. We're shedding innocent blood. An heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now we're talking about a little bit here about the word abomination that is in Isaiah chapter 66. So So you need to go to Proverbs chapter 6 and read verses 12 through 19. But don't forget verse 20. My son, keep the father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. So what is the father's commandment? That's everything that it comes out of the Christ mouth. When he says, freely you have received and freely you shall give to others. That means you're not supposed to be paying somebody to help you learn the Father's law. You're not supposed to be paying somebody to come out of Babylon. When you do, you're allowing the people that have a lying tongue, people that are false witnesses, people that sow discord among brethren. What do you think these patriots or prophets are? Now, I've been sucker baited into a couple little things that I didn't do enough research, like the word sovereign. It took me years to keep on working on that. Found U.S. Supreme Court cases said I'm sovereign. Great, I'm sovereign. And then I keep researching and I find, look at this, the Treaty of Paris, the concession of England, Ireland, and Scotland to the Holy Roman Empire. And when I'm sovereign, it means I'm the arch treasurer of the Vatican. No wonder I was paying income taxes, because I said I was a sovereign. I agreed to it. So a sovereign is an arch treasurer to the Vatican. Talks about being a voter, chief elector. I was voting. No wonder I was under their jurisdiction. You have to think, ladies and gentlemen. Go to these abominations and see if you are operating under false knowledge. See if you think that you are just so damn smart, because you've learned it all your life. Everybody you know says it. And when you start getting a little bit different thinking, and you start reading and investigating, and you find out that 96-97% of the people out there don't know what they're talking about, and you have family, a spouse, be it a husband or a wife, you have children, you have other relatives, you have friends, and they all start saying, Jerry's gone wacky, Billy's gone wacky, and so forth, whatever your name is. And you point to these facts and these figures that people don't know, and they ignore them. They don't want to hear anything about keeping the seventh appointed day at Thursday at noon to Friday at noon. And you know that the Lord has said he's going to kill the people that don't do that. And you're sitting there and your heart's breaking, because he's going to kill your family, your friends, your associates, and they won't listen to you. Then you start understanding circumcision. Then you start understanding of hardening your heart and say, no, I will not be drugged down because I love them earthly. I will harden my heart. That's what circumcision is. And I will harden my hands. And when you get out there and you get blisters, and your blisters turn to calluses, and then you get out there and you work hard enough that your calluses rip off, and it burns and it hurts, and you say, Lord, thank you, I need to get in better shape. You don't say, oh, Lord, why my hands are hurt? No, you say, thank you, Lord, now I need to have to learn to work harder. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. The Lord is not looking for wimpy, yellow-belly sapsuckers. And the worst pain, the worst feeling you can have in your life is when somebody you really love, somebody that you really care for, refuses to keep the Father's law, to investigate them, to learn the details. And they spew you out of their mouth. They call you vile things. The Christ said, and people shall persecute you because of me. And that is happening to a lot of us. Continue to circumcise yourself. Continue to get your calluses. Continue. Continue to learn the Father's law. Harden your hearts. Harden your body. And the hardness is that you want to be that fine razor's edge sharpness on that sword of the Father's laws.
You want to become that cutting edge. You want to be the one that slices down the Canaanites with the Father's law. You want to put terror in the Canaanites. You want to put terror in Babylon. Talk about the Father's laws. Don't just let one little old guy in nowhere, Arkansas, on the side of a mountain talk about it. You start talking about it. Sharpen your sword. That is the Father's law. That is what will slay the Canaanites. That is what will bring Babylon down. We don't have to go out and kill people. All we have to do is keep the Father's law. And they will be terrified. They will smell in their britches. I hope you all enjoyed a little bit of this. I hope it was a little bit of motivation for you. I hope those that want to participate a little bit tonight will call in on the conference call. We've got 5 more weeks of appendixes. It is up to you to let me know what you want to talk about in these appendixes, just like on the telephone conference call. I want to do what you think you want more information on. You have to communicate with me. And the telephone conference calls are one way to do that. And I would appreciate your assistance knowing what you would like to visit about. It's not up to me. It's up to another man in Texas that said, let's give it 8 more weeks. And so I'm here to try and deliver what you want. I can't know this unless you get on the telephone conference call and visit with me and go over the areas that you want to have done. Not about Jerry. Jerry, you know, is not at all about being a celebrity. It's about you. And I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. And this is the gathering offering, and this is the appendix number 3. And we're going to have 5 more. Thank you so very much today, ladies and gentlemen.
To simply hold your horses, to rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.